I want to shift over to, of course, the Facebook story, as we've been covering that one all week after the House testimony there about the safety of some of Facebook's products from the whistleblower that really sparked a lot of these conversations, particularly into what Facebook knew about the products that they offer customers and the impacts when it comes to mental health. We are hearing from Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, though, responding to a lot of the allegations raised by that whistleblower, particularly when it comes to her argument. The statement really reading, quote, "The argument that we deliberately push content that makes people angry for profit is deeply illogical. We make money from ads, and advertisers consistently telling us they don't want their ads next to harmful or angry content." He went on to say that, "And I don't know any tech company that sets out to build products that make people angry or depressed. The moral business and product incentives all point in the opposite direction." For more on what we've seen, though, when it comes to investors grappling with more what we're learning about Facebook, I want to bring in Ivan Feinseth, Tigress Financial Partners Director of Research, who joins us here on the phone. And Ivan, I mean, we've talked about Facebook stock getting dented by some of these concerns, whether it's, you know, monopoly power here, some of these issues being raised in the past with the Cambridge Analytica scandal. I mean, how serious is this for investors to see about a 13% pullback since the beginning of September?
Well, we have seen it before with the Cambridge Analytica scandal, which I think in theory there was more exposure to Facebook than this. Facebook, you got to really understand that Facebook provides a social media platform for people to use for free, not to have for free, use for free because it's paid for by advertisers. Okay, their source of revenue is advertising, and they offer advertisers access to people that may be interested in their products based on what people say they like or products that they like or things that they are interested in. Now, it's a communication platform. There are news feeds, which then are separate to be responsible news feeds, but these are people's opinions. And yes, sometimes things can be harsh, and I think that they do have a level of responsibility, short of censorship, to eliminate, you know, anything that's hateful, that's threatening. But this is a platform for free idea exchange in the cyber world. And there's going to be things that people like and don't like and take offense. Now, from the business standpoint, they have survived every scandal, including where times that have said people should boycott Facebook. And during when there were calls for companies and even companies saying they were going to boycott Facebook, in that quarter, they saw, an increase in membership, as they seem to every quarter, and an increase in advertising revenue. So yeah, even people in Hollywood have said, oh, I'm deleting my Facebook account, which they delete for about 5 minutes because they delete it. And then they look at their phone. Oh, let me go back on and see what people are saying about my deletion of my account. So it's a platform of interaction. And it's a platform of engagement. And they are also going beyond just that, expanding into what will be the biggest trend in commerce will be this concept of social commerce. They also continue to go deeper into payments to be able to go peer-to-peer where you can send, you know, exchange money through to friends, purchase items. And then they continue to increase this communication platform that connects people to add voice, to add video as they have, to add more information, to share pictures, photos. And it's about people's engagement. And you know what? If you don't like what somebody says, then unfriend them, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to go around this, too. I mean, we've seen, legislators pressure the company. We talked a lot about potential breakups. It hasn't gotten anywhere, though, when you kind of step back and look at any real, pressure behind it. When you look at maybe some of the other plays here, though, in that kind of social media driven by advertising play, we've seen a lot of people look to Snapchat to maybe benefit from some of this. I mean, do you back up and look at the whole sector as a potential benefit from some of these people jumping off the platform?
Well, people may jump off, but they're going to jump back on because you want to go to where the people are. And Facebook has the biggest membership base. And for the same effort, because depending on, as a business, now I'm saying, depending on your resources and your staff, I mean, how many social platforms can you manage? Big companies can manage many. And by the way, the real power of Facebook is enabling small business. And they may not have the resources to manage many platforms, and they're going to go to the largest. And you know, what gets missed sometimes is that Facebook has helped small companies and entrepreneurs and creators launch products that they would have never been able to launch before because this platform didn't exist. So they have helped businesses, they have helped create companies, they have helped create careers, and there are a lot of ancillary careers of companies that will do the work for you to help you build your social media profile, to get more eyeballs on your social media content. So this is a tremendous ecosystem that will evolve to what Mark Zuckerberg has recently spoke about, the metaverse, where you can, you know, live, work virtually and engage virtually. I mean, you still need to live and work in the real world, but this is still an evolving platform and an evolving ecosystem. And advertisers go to where people are, and people are on Facebook.
Yeah, let me just kind of put a pin in, it sounds like, you know, your whole point here in terms of this still being the best play in social media, whether you're looking at Snapchat, Twitter, stick with Facebook. But I mean, what upside do you see here maybe in the recovery, you know, where shares could go?
Well, we have a, hold on one second. We have a 12-month price target of $430, and that was from our, you know, updated report in June. So this will continue to grow, and revenue will continue to grow because users, the membership continues to grow, and user engagement continues to grow and will continue to grow because they will continue to offer more features to people, keep people engaged. And yes, the more you are engaged on Facebook, the more you will tend to find things you're interested in looking at. You will click on ads and things like that. That is their game. But again, that part of it is not detrimental. It's not causing depression. It's not causing, I mean, you really can't blame them for some of the issues that exist. In the 70s, when fashion magazines came out, they said it was having the same effect on young girls, only not at the scale, because it wasn't distributed as widely as everybody having access to Instagram and Facebook. But they do spend tens of billions of dollars on weeding out bad content, on keeping things secure, on eliminating fraudulent profiles and things like that. But, you know, everybody has responsibility in society, but, again, their business, they are in the advertising business. They don't make money from people looking at hateful content. Mark Zuckerberg said, they have no benefit to having hateful content. You want people to be happy. People, by the way, tend to buy things when they're happy, not when they're angry.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all been something that has been documented time and time again. So interesting to see it pop up. And as you said, we haven't necessarily seen a decline in advertisers whenever these issues do pop up and shares have tended to recover. But interesting to see it all play out. Ivan Feinseth, Tigress Financial Partners Director of Research, appreciate you hopping on here to chat with us today. Thanks again for the time.